I want to read at this point from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. And I want to read from verse 7 through to chapter 2 and verse 10. Verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come and let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve with was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of midwife for the Hebrew woman and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them." And Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." And the man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." And we know that God will bless the reading of his holy truth. In recent days, I've been reacquainting myself with a man called Moses. Moses was a historian, a legislator, a statesman. He was a child of a slave. Yet he became a leader. He became the son of a queen, born in a hut, but lived in a palace, inherited poverty, but enjoyed unlimited wealth. He was a leader of armies and a keeper of flocks. One of the mightiest of warriors, and yet the scriptures tell us he was the meekest of men. Educated at court and lived in the desert. He knew all the wisdom of Egypt, and yet he had the faith of a little child. Backward in speech, yet talked with God. There's a wonderful testimony to Moses in Psalm 103 and verse 7, where it says that God made his ways known to Moses. What a testimony. God made his way known to Moses. I want us to look at three things from the passage we read together this morning in Exodus 1 and 2. And I want to underline, first of all, that Moses was a child born in fearful times. The baby Moses opened his eyes on a very unfriendly world. Generally, the birth of a baby boy in Israel would be a time for rejoicing, a time of great joy. But this baby boy's birth was surrounded by anxiety and dread. Times had changed. A new king had come to power, a king who didn't know Joseph. And the world had changed. And there were a number of things that meant that Moses was born in very fearful times. There was a population explosion. In chapter 1 and verse 7 and verse 12 remind us that the children of Israel multiplied greatly. They became exceeding numerous. The land was filled with them. And the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. There was stress and strain on the natural resources, so that they became a dread to the Egyptians. There was a food and housing crisis. There was all the things that accompanied a population explosion. And the Egyptians were fearful of the children of Israel. There was the threat of war. In chapter 1, verse 10, the Egyptians are recorded as saying, if war breaks out and they join our enemies and they'll fight against us. So there was an obvious threat of war of some kind or another. There was the oppression of ordinary people by the state. They were used by Pharaoh to build treasure cities in verse 11. They were worked ruthlessly in verse 13. There was no such thing as a 9-to-5 job. They were worked ruthlessly. Their lives were made bitter with hard labor, it says in verse 14. The people were used as pawns and chattels. They were just cogs in the wheels of the Egyptian economic machine. They counted for little or nothing. in order to ensure the survival and the economic prosperity of the Egyptian regime, the people of Israel were mistreated and oppressed by the state. There was the murder of children authorized by the state. In verse 22 of chapter 1, it tells us that Pharaoh tried to get the Israelite midwives to do his dirty work for him and to kill every male child that was born. But he couldn't control them, and they wouldn't do it. So he gave an order to all his people. Murder was the order of the day. Human life didn't count for that. It counted for absolutely nothing in the world into which Moses was born. The value of human life was totally disregarded. And according to Joshua 24 and 14, there was a decline in true religion and a rise in false religion. In Joshua 24:14, it says, "Put away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord." This little baby boy sets out on the sea of life amidst many perils. Some of it sounds familiar, doesn't it, when you stop to think of it? And I suppose it's true of every generation. My generation was born into a world at war. World of ration books and tuberculosis and child labor and little money. When I was wee, if you got a halfpenny for pocket money, you were doing well. The next generation was born into a world threatened by nuclear war, endangered by nuclear waste, into the world of the troubles in Ireland and all that that meant. Today's generation are coming into a world of weapons of mass destruction, if Tony Blair could find them, or international terrorism. A world where people are reduced to a code on a computer, where AIDS is endemic, where drug addiction is rife, where moral codes are fast disappearing, and human life is cheap. A world that's fearful. When you look at our children today and our grandchildren, very much like Moses, they are being born into fearful times. The world in which we live is full of tragedy, oppression, disease, death, terrorism. That's not a very happy note to start 2005 on. A child born in fearful times. But the second thing I want to say is that Moses was a child born to faithful parents. Moses' father's name was Amram. His mother was called Jochebed. He had a 15-year-old sister called Miriam, a 3-year-old brother called Aaron. And he was born to faithful parents. When God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush in Exodus 3 and 6, he says, I am the God of your father. Amram worshipped the true and living God. And Hebrews 11:23 tells us that by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. Let me say to you young people here, and you boys and girls, if you've been born into a family of faithful parents, where your mother and father know and love the Lord, you are most blessed. You are most fortunate to have that in today's world. And I want to underline 3 things about these faithful parents. First of all, these faithful parents were not afraid. While they had good cause to worry and to fear, as the time of his birth drew near, I'm sure there were questions in their mind. How will our baby boy survive in a world like this? What will happen to us and what will happen to him if the Egyptians find him? Those kind of things could not have been far from their minds. But Hebrews 11:23 records this. They were not afraid. They were not afraid. Somehow, they cast the care of their little son upon God in faith. Others may have been filled with fear, and others may have obeyed the king's edict, and they carried their little sons to the river, to the edge of the river, and threw them into the murky waters to drown. But not Amram or Jochebed. They trusted in God for their children. They were not afraid. And we can emulate them in today's world. In a fearful, uncertain, cruel world, as we step out into a new year of 2005, we can trust our children to the same God that Amram and Jochebed did. Like them, there may be questions in our minds, but we need to trust in God and not be afraid. It's easy to be grabbed by a fear which paralyzes us, which makes us totally neurotic, when we look out in the world. But we need to look far beyond this world to the throne of heaven, as Amram and Jochebed did. And these faithful parents were not afraid. But secondly, these faithful parents did not act foolishly. They didn't act foolishly. They didn't take unnecessary risks. They didn't have a party and tell the world that Moses was born. They hid him for 3 months. They protected him. They did all that was within their power to save him from death and from the Egyptians. And this was a daily, hourly, demanding task. From the moment he was born, they were guarding him from harm and danger. I don't know if we can imagine how demanding that must have been. Trying to tend to this baby and keep it a secret that he was there, and ensure that the Egyptians didn't find him and didn't hear him. But they did all that was within their power to guard him from harm and danger. And we need to do the same. Committing our children in faith to God does not absolve us from the responsibility to do all that we can to guard them and to keep them from harm and danger. We need to do all that we can to protect our children in today's world. We need to watch over them. We need to spend time with them. We need to talk to them. We need to encourage them. I've been involved in pastoral ministry, I suppose, for a long, long time. And one of the things that has broken my heart at times is whenever I've talked to young people and they've said they can't talk to their parents. That's tragic. That's tragic. We need to do all that we can to protect them from harm and danger. And if we don't communicate with them, we're not going to be able to do that. These faithful parents did not act foolishly. And thirdly, these faithful parents did not ignore facts. The plan they devised was carefully thought out as well as being divinely guided. According to two reliable historians, Pharaoh's daughter was married, but she was childless, and she longed for a child. And everybody knew that. The same historians indicate that the Egyptians searched the Israelite homes systematically every 3 months. So the time was coming when they had to act. If they didn't, their baby would be found and killed. There was a certain spot on the river where Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe. These were facts. Also, they knew that if she found him, he would need a nurse. I mean, stop and think about it. Did this not seem like a rather fanciful plan? On the face of it, it looked like a fanciful plan, but no doubt these facts, together with guidance from God, were taken into consideration by Amram and Jochebed. There are facts that impact on our lives and on the lives of our children. Facts that we shouldn't ignore. Facts like where we live. Facts like the values that we pass on to them. Facts like what we read and what we watch and how we behave, those are all things that impact on the lives of our children. We need to understand that. And we should not ignore facts. There are things that we know that if we expose our children to them, we are exposing them to harm and to danger. And we do that physically. Physically, we will guard our children from getting near the fire. We will teach them that you shouldn't cross the road. But often when it comes to spiritual things, we'll not act in the same way. We need to examine facts and not ignore them. So Moses was a child born in fearful times. He was a child born to faithful parents. Thirdly and finally, Moses was a child born in foreordained circumstances. God is not mentioned. Yet it's obvious that he is the central controlling figure in all that takes place. And here is a wonderful example of God's preservation of his people and of how he fulfills his purposes in spite of evil men. We see it in the timing of his birth. God's clock keeps perfect time. Ecclesiastes 3 and 2 reminds us there is a time to be born. And way back in Genesis chapter 15 and verses 13 and 14, God had made a promise to Abram that after 400 years in Egypt, he would bring the Israelites out, and God's clock was ticking. And history was moving towards that point. And God was preparing Moses to lead them out. And God brought Moses into the world and guided him throughout his life and prepared him for that event. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, when Stephen is before the council, he makes it clear that Moses' birth was timed by God. In Psalm 22 and verse 9, David says the same thing. He says to the Lord, "You brought me out of the womb." And what was true of Moses and true of David is true of all of us. There was a time when the world needed Moses. There was a time when the world needed David. There was a time when the world needed Paul and Peter and Whitfield and Spurgeon and Hudson Taylor. Birth is not an accident. And believe it or not, there was a time when the world needed you and needed me. Why were you born when you were born? Why was I born when I was born? The truth is that it is God who determines the times and the seasons and also determines the time of your birth. If any of us ask, why was I born in this age, in this generation? The answer is, because God said so. You and I are here in this generation as part of God's plan. We see it in the timing of his birth, and we see it in the totality of the circumstances of Moses' birth. It must have been sheer agony. Can you imagine what it was like to carry that little basket with your son in it, down to the riverbed, and to lay it in the reeds in faith, trusting God to take care of him? But what parent has not felt in a similar way as their children launch out into the world? I've often gone past schools with the first day at school, and there are more mothers crying outside than there are children crying inside. But we feel the same when they grow up, when they go to high school, when they go off to university, when they go to work. And when you look at the totality of circumstances here, and you look at Pharaoh's decree, and the faith of his parents, and the flow of the Nile, and Pharaoh's daughter's time of arrival, there must have been 1,000 things to keep her back. But she came at the right time, her keen eyesight, the fact that the baby cried at the appropriate moment and pulled at her heartstrings. Moses' mother gets to nurse her own child and get paid for it into the bargain. Pharaoh gets to foot the bill for Moses' education and upkeep. One commentator says this: God gives to faith more than it looks for. God gives to faith more than it looks for. And the will of God is accomplished here. Yet no violence is done to the will of the agents. They all acted in accordance with their own thoughts and feelings. But God was in control. And God is still in control. And even when we look out on the tragedy that there is at the far side of the world, we have still got to say, God is in control. However difficult it is for us to understand that, nevertheless, it is true. And we can learn from Moses' parents. We can learn from Amram and Jochebed. Be faithful, parents. Don't be afraid. Don't act foolishly. Rather, do all that is within our power to guard and protect them. Don't ignore the facts. Take all the steps that we can to have an influence for good and for God. But at the end of the day, we have to launch them out in faith that God will work out his plans and his purposes in their lives. As we go out into 2005, we live in a world of fearful times. Let's be faithful people. And let's look away to the throne of heaven and affirm our faith in the sovereign God who will ultimately fulfill all his purposes. May God bless his word.